Good afternoon, patrons. And actually, wait, hang on. No. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do one for the Australians, actually, and the other people who don't actually check out the videos in the afternoon. Because the good afternoon, I never meant it this way, but I've realised, it's very America-centric, isn't it? Because I put my videos up early evening in the UK time, which has always been kind of because, like, that's, like, evening for the UK and early afternoon for the US. So it's kind of felt like a good time for both of the, for kind of both of those territories. So, like, the Americans always get told good afternoon, and actually for them, overwhelmingly, when the video goes up, it is afternoon. So I never really meant to do that. So I'm just gonna do one for the Australians. So if you're Australians, this one here, this is for you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm John Semenya Trunad. Welcome to PatronCast. Welcome to PatronCast of September 2015. It's a really good start for not wanting to ramble on this particular occasion. Actually, the vote last month was totally for ramble away, so that's absolutely fine. So. The biggest news, obviously, the date when I go full time with this jazz was actually September the 11th. And it's September the 12th right now. I'm actually recording this on the same day it'll go out, which I do for PatronCast, as they're relatively easy to put together. They don't require, like, much editing or anything, assuming I don't completely fluff my lines. So that's good. Yeah, my job's over. That's kind of terrifying that, you know, like, the paycheck I'm going to get later this month for the days up to the 11th is going to be the last paycheck from an actual, you know, company and a job and stuff that I'll be able to kind of reliably know what my income's going to be. So for the rest of this year, at the bare minimum, absolutely no clue month to month what my income's going to be, that's the scary bit. It's the scary bit's the insecurity. But there's so many good games, you know. I've got some savings set aside for all of this. It will be fine. Probably. What I'm going to do tomorrow is I'll let the channel overall know about kind of all this business and how I'm kind of going full time to support the channel, and, you know, I'll bring attention to the Patreon. I've you know, people have actually said to me, like, I've always wanted to never be seen to be pushing this thing too hard, but I've probably gone too far the other way. And, like, sometimes people actually say in the comments, like, oh, I wish there was some way to support you, because I've completely failed to draw attention anywhere and never put it on end cards, and I never say it in videos, and I never put in comments that there is a Patreon. So, you know, I'm going to partly rectify that tomorrow, kind of when I kind of say that I'm going full time. Hopefully a few people will decide that they want to support all this business too. But it's really exciting, I think there's going to be loads of kind of really interesting new stuff that's going to kind of come out of it. Like, I say the big ones are going to be, it's going to give me time to live stream. And I've been thinking about this, because the logical thing about live streaming is there are some things that I never play on YouTube itself, because, like, the publishers get a bit fussy and Google's content ID is pretty advanced. So, you know, I generally stay away from Capcom and Konami games, for example, and Sega for the most part. And they've got obviously some brilliant games in their back catalogue. Twitch, like, as long as you don't actually then go on to record it, edit it, and put it on YouTube, you can kind of, I think you can pretty much get away with pretty much anything, to be honest. So, I'll probably be able to, like, some of those games that are really, really exciting, that I would love to do on the main channel, but I don't feel like it's safe necessarily. I'd probably kind of do some of those on Twitch. The big one I'm thinking of is I might, like, do, like, a whole day stream at one point doing Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. Because I've never played that. Obviously, I know about the big twist, and I've seen other people, like, talk about it, and I've seen bits of it, but I've never actually played it myself. And, like, I used to be really big in Star Wars. I'm still kind of big into Star Wars, but, like, you know, it's hard to remain a fan when, like, most of what's been produced in recent years for it hasn't exactly been spectacular. But I really liked the Clone Wars miniseries. That was great, especially the second one that came out right before Episode 3. That was way better than Episode 3 actually was, which was unfortunate. It was made by, what's the names? The ones who made the Matrix films, which was really quite exciting that they were the ones who wrote that. So that was cool. That was cool. So yeah, I might do that. And as well as, like, when I was originally thinking I'll do Twitch, I was thinking, oh, that'll be a really good vehicle for, like, roguelikes. That'll be a good way to bring back, like, FTL and Cure and do more Curious Opposition and maybe do, like, a whole day of Sheltered or something. But I realised, actually, kind of what would be more exciting would probably be kind of, yeah, doing those games that I could do on YouTube, but they carry certain risks. So I'd rather do them on Twitch. I think people will like that. Hopefully, the chance to see some really interesting games. I think people would like to see, but just it's difficult to do normally. So yeah, that's kind of one of the big things I'll be doing. And the other one will be I'll actually do. And I know I did this a little bit. Like I'll try and do more like big community playdate things. Where we can all kind of play together. Like, the one, I did, like, a few of them for GTA Online, but because I didn't, like, advertise them as well as I should have done, like, they were fairly announced pretty much last minute. I just kind of said, like, last minute on social media, just on, like, Twitter and Reddit, I'm going to be on GTA this evening, come and join if you want. I think the most people we ever got on board was, like, 8 on one of the sessions. So I'm going to, like, make proper announcements. So, like, I've already decided, like, a week on Sunday is going to be the first big one. That's going to like properly trailed and everything, and that's going to be for GTA Online again, because they're just going to release what's it called, the free mode thing, where you don't have to go through lobbies, where you can just kind of get into a single world map and stuff actually happens on the world map without like lots of loading and stuff, which actually I really like the sound of, because like the lobbies and stuff always bored me to tears. So I like the idea of just being able to like play around on the main map and just mess around on the map together. So that's going to be the first one, which is going to be a week on Sunday. And then I don't know how regularly I'll do them. I haven't really decided that. So, I mean, it's pretty exciting. I think it's pretty exciting. I mean, there's going to be, I can't really announce, like, there's going to be videos every day. Because there have been videos every day through, well, almost, through, like, late July through to the kind of mid-September where we are at the moment. That's been difficult, though. And it's required basically cheating. So, like, there was one, like, I'm not happy with it, to be honest. I'm not happy with, like, the quality of some of the videos. I don't think that they're my best work when I've, like, been, you know, rushing in sometimes to get, like, videos out every day. And I've only really had the weekend to make those. And it's meant that I've relied too heavily on miniseries. There was, like, one week in August where, like, you know, the videos that came out each day were part 12 of one series, part 3 of another series, part 2 of another series, part 4 of one. So it's just like, it's all parts. And those are not the best videos. Like, people get most excited when I do something new. And I can kind of see that in how many people choose to watch something. I'm not saying that I ought to always play just what, like, people would most want to see. I shouldn't just, like, you know, play Minecraft and Call of Duty because that's got a big audience on YouTube. But what I'm saying is, like, if I've got, you know, 110,000 or close people who are interested in watching what I do, if I do something and, you know, 20,000 of those people look at that and think, yeah, actually, I'd like to watch that, then that's good. But, like, if only 5,000 people decide I'm going to watch that, then that's 15,000 people who would have watched something else, who looked at that and thought, ah, that doesn't sound that entertaining to me. So that's 15,000 people I could have entertained in some capacity, but I didn't. So, like, I do like to kind of do stuff that people like to watch, just because that means I'm doing a good job doing the thing that is now my job, which is, you know, keeping as many people happy as possible on a day-to-day basis. So, like, it's going to involve me doing a lot more, like, one-off videos and stuff, which I think is going to be really, really interesting. I can kind of get on with much more, like, launches. I can get in on game launches. I can, like, do more one-offs. Why Not Wednesday, for example? I think those are some of my best videos. I genuinely do. I think some of my best videos are in that series. So I'll be thrilled to kind of bring those back and do kind of variations on them. I can do more, like, little indie looks. People seem to really enjoy those. And, like, I'll do a mini-series if something's really, really good. But I don't think, like, during August, my basic view was, if I like the look of a game, it will become a 3 or 4-parter. And that can be really good. Party Hard, like, went down really, really well. People loved Party Hard. And, like, people were, like, really happy that that became a series. And people have kept watching it through to part 3, which has gone at the moment. And the next part, which is part 4, is the final part. That's going to be next Tuesday. Yeah, I think that's coming on Tuesday. And then the people seem to have been really thrilled with that. So, you know, that's gone down really well. That's the sort of thing I would do a mini-series for anyway. But, you know, I do maybe one-offs for a lot more other things. So not only can I make better videos, but I can actually, you know, as I've kind of spoken about, I can actually get some rest. I can have, like, at least one day a week off. I'd like to get to 2 days a week off at some point. Right now I'm going to get, like, one day a week off. So I'm going to have, like, most of this coming Sunday off. Fallout's done. Like, I've got the week after to make stuff as it comes along. That's fine. I can, because I've got, like, more time during the week, I can obviously do a lot more. I can do a lot more work during the week, so I don't need to be panicking every weekend. I can actually take a bit more time off. I'm feeling more chill just today. Just today when, like, I had a bit of an issue with one of the recordings. I needed to re-encode something. It's like, all right, set it re-encoding, and I'll just, you know, Just, you know, chill for the next half hour while it's happening. Lovely. Beautiful. I like that. I like that a lot. So obviously, one other really interesting thing is we're now heading into like the final kind of, you know, 3-4 months of the year. That means obviously a lot of games start coming out, like loads of games start coming out from now to the end of the year. So just to let you know kind of what ones I'm really kind of paying really close attention to for as they launch for the rest of this month. Obviously, I'll give you an update for October when we roll around to October. I know Soma is coming out at the end of the month, the kind of the, well, it's not really a sequel, kind of a spiritual successor made by the same people who made Amnesia Dark Descent. Now, I've never really been into those sorts of games, not because, like, I personally don't think they've got artistic merit, just because I personally do not enjoy the sensation of being scared and anxious. But, you know, it's a new thing, and I've never really tried them before. I've never played Amnesia Dark Descent, so I kind of feel like that might be an interesting thing to do. So, like, I might just do a one-off video for Soma when it launches, which I think could be interesting. I don't know if it'll work or not, but like that's part of the joy maybe of having my having a bit more time, like, because it's not necessarily my sort of thing, and I don't know whether the video would be good or not. It's the sort of thing where before I went full-time doing this, I never would have done it, because I just would have rather spent my time doing something that I was pretty sure would reliably turn out to be a really solid video. Now I've got the time to experiment, and if I think it's just a really bad video, I can just scrap it, and, you know, it just can never be launched, and that's fine. But, you know, now I can experiment with some new formats. The Rainbow Six Siege beta is starting on, when's that? That's like September 24th, I think. So I've got access to the closed beta. I've confirmed with Ubisoft that they're fine with people posting footage. In fact, they actually contacted me back and said, we don't just allow it, we actively encourage it. See, Ubisoft, for all their problems and for how much everyone seems to really dislike Uplay, they've actually got this really, they're really lovely to YouTubers. They're so easy to work with. Like, there are no restrictions. They grant blanket permission for you to make videos about everything. They're so easy to work with. They're kind of like the anti-Nintendo, because Ubisoft, like, I personally find, and I've spoken to other YouTubers who feel the same way, they're really nice and easy to work with, so from our point of view it's really nice and lovely to work with them, but, like, they seem to have a bad reputation amongst gamers themselves because of things like Uplay and, like, the state of Assassin's Creed Unity when it came out and things like that. Whereas Nintendo are like their evil twin from another universe, where obviously they've got a very loyal fan base and a lot of players really love their games, but they're such an utter insane pain to work with that, like, YouTubers generally hate them and stay away from them and you know, have a lot of bad things to say about Nintendo these days. So I don't know, I feel like Ubisoft and Nintendo are like reverse twins from an evil parallel universe or something. But yes, I'll be looking at the kind of the Rainbow Six Siege beta. I mean, I've not been like a huge player of Rainbow Six in the past, but, like, I think it looks kind of really fun and interesting. So I always like kind of slightly asymmetrical games. And, I do enjoy the occasional shooter. I don't cover shooters that often on the channel, but I do enjoy the occasional shooter. So I'm looking forward to that. The other big one, this one's coming next week, is Bedlam, which is basically, it's like a roguelike, but with a really strong Fallout type aesthetic. It's like isometric kind of, I think it's turn-based, isometric kind of turn-based combat with a big Fallout aesthetic, but with kind of a really FTL feel to it. It's like, if you cross like FTL and Fallout, I think you might have just about got my perfect game. So I've kind of been bugging those guys just to kind of, you know, make sure that I know what's going on when that launches and stuff like that. It's I'm very excited for that one. That's, I think, a really good candidate for what's going to be a mini-series, because I get the feeling that, like, the moment, like, it's kind of explained as, and I will just kind of, you know, call the video something like, it's Fallout crossed with FTL, I'll put that in description prominently or something, I think a lot of people will be interested to see that. And I, you know, roguelikes tend to go pretty well, actually. Like, Curious Expedition, I did, like, multiple runs on, and people really liked that. That went down really, really well. Better than I was expecting. I thought that was going to be, like, a couple of runs and done. But, like, that went down really well. FTL went down really well back in the day. People still ask for that to come back. So, for some reason, even though some series, like, you begin them and then, like, they get less and less popular as time goes by, less and less people watch them, roguelikes seem to kind of be an exception to that rule. So Bedlam's a really good candidate for being, like, a little mini-series that I'll do. So that's pretty exciting, I think. Now, on to the questions. Questions that were kind of asked over either last month in the comments or in like the little thing I put up about a week ago asking for things that anyone had any queries about for this month. Someone asked, who are my favourite authors? And my favourite author of all time is Jasper Ford. He's a British author. I think he might be Welsh, actually. Who writes these kind of very slightly surreal... kind of, like, I think my favourite books he writes are the Thursday Next series, which are kind of sort of literary and sort of sci-fi and sort of weird, surreal. It's kind of dark comedy, but very surreal dark comedy with bits of fantasy and bits of literary and bits of... It's very clever. I love it. I cannot explain it. I cannot flipping explain it. It involves time travel and teleporting in and outside of literature and alternate realities and a TV show called Guess That Fruit. There's so much there, I cannot even explain it, but it's wonderful. And it's been about the story of this, the entire life of this main character, Thursday Next, who, as like the books have gone on, like there's been no status quo. Like when we join it, when like in the first book, she's quite young, but as the series has gone on, she's kind of got older and she's actually gone through major life events. And like you really feel like you're kind of reading about her entire life, which I think is this wonderful sensation that like you're not just kind of reading like, because sometimes when a series gets really long, you feel like the characters aren't going anywhere. They just kind of, there's an established character in an established setting, and they're just going on a new adventure. Whereas this, even though it's like, I think there's are there eight of them now? I think there's eight books in the Thursday Next series at the moment. Like you really feel like, you know, she's gone on this journey, and every time there's a new one, you really do get the sensation that. She's really kind of grown further as a character in kind of age and experience and everything. And it's lovely. It's just a really great series, and I love Jasper Ford as an author. He's written other good things too. He wrote Shades of Grey, not to be confused with 50 Shades of Grey, which is a much worse book, but Shades of Grey is a kind of a very British dystopian novel, which is, if you know the game We Happy Few, like, basically it's that, but as a really, really excellent novel, so thoroughly recommend picking that up too. And for younger readers, he did some kind of, like, more light-hearted, slightly, like, young adult-targeted fantasy books as well, which are very, very cool as well. Someone asked me what my favourite ancient myth was in light of the fact that I was a classicist. I could not possibly flipping say. Like, the Iliad holds a very special, like, place in my heart, but in terms of, like, the ancient plays, like, I can't give you, like, a particular tragedy, because my favourite of the ancient plays, the comedies of Aristophanes, so, like, and they're not tied to specific myths, they're very often set in, like, contemporary Athens, so I cannot give you a favourite myth, but what I will say is I want to do more games that are, like, based around, like, myth and ancient culture and ancient history and stuff, so hopefully, like, that might settle your curiosity. Someone else has asked, my favourite place... in ancient Rome. It's actually the water gardens of the Villa d'Este, which is not, it's kind of not entirely ancient Rome, because they're not actually that ancient, and the water gardens are more recent. But I always love just getting out of Rome, heading towards, like, getting on the bus and heading down towards the Ostia Way, and, like, heading out towards the Villa d'Este and just enjoying the water gardens, because they're beautiful, but they're also... they're generally quite quiet. They're not kind of filled with tourists. It's just kind of, it's just a lovely, lovely place. I've been so many times. I can't even remember how many times I've been to the Villa d'Este. Like, my favourite actual kind of site of archaeological interest is Delphi in Greece. It's not in Italy, it's in Greece. Delphi's just wonderful. Because again, because it's quite off the beaten track, it's not filled with tourists. And it's so high up in this quite remote area. I mean, modern Delphi, the village next to it, is still really tiny. And, like, the site is just, you know, so quiet. You can still get a real feeling of, like, peace and serenity there. Just because, unlike... the sad thing about Rome is, like, all of the major things are so... become very touristy and, like, filled with people. Like, the Colosseum I just don't enjoy anymore. Because it's so ram-packed and filled with tour guides. You know, you've got the modern Italians in really awful fake centurion armor trying to, you know, get photos, trying to convince you to spend 10 euros to have a photo taken with them outside the Colosseum and stuff, and just dreadful. I don't know, it annoys me, and like I'm so much happier with the lots of the Greek ruins, because they're very often spread out all over the place, so therefore because like people do the Athenian ones, the actual ones in Athens, therefore they generally don't go around Greece to see the rest of them, so it's much quieter, and I find it's much more enjoyable. Like the theatre at Epidavros, which is effectively it's acoustically and architecturally perfect, so like if the penny drops in the centre of the stage, you can hear it with pretty much perfect clarity at any point in the theatre at any seat, because the acoustics of it have actually been designed with perfection, which is remarkable when you think that it's 2,500 years old, that was capable of being done. But yeah, utterly, utterly amazing. Someone asked about events. Yes, there are going to be more events. I can confirm I will be going to the EGX at the end of this month in the National Exhibition Centre outside Birmingham, over in the UK. I will be there on the Friday. I haven't decided like whether there's enough interest to like do like an actual like fan meetup or something. I very much doubt there will be. But what I'll probably do is I might like show up wearing the only Many a True Nerd hoodie in existence that is there. And if anyone happens to recognise it and come up to me, great, perfect. I'll be meeting a couple of other YouTubers there as well. So like I'll just be hanging around for most of that day. So yes, I will be there then. I think it's going to be the Friday anyway. I'm almost certain. I've got one of the press passes. Again, they think I'm press. So I can be there like any day, but I think I'm decided I'm going to do it on the Friday. Is that the 25th, 26th? Whatever the Friday at the end of February is. February? September. September, John. And one other person asked me about indie games. How do I pick what indie games I am and I'm not going to cover, given there's so damn many of them? I never kind of go searching around in Steam. I don't find it's like a really useful interface to go through them. I find the two most useful sources for indie games are Rock Paper Shotgun. I find do a very good kind of job of highlighting ones that I'm really interested in. So I keep a close eye on like just their Twitter feed, and like as they kind of do like little announcements of upcoming indie games, generally that's the point where I will kind of have a look into the game and I'll email the dev. Just because I know you don't really need to, because indies like almost universally are happy for you to, you know, cover their games and whatever. But just as a matter of politeness, I always, before I make a video for an indie dev, I will always contact them and just ask them to give permission, which is partly politeness and partly actually security, just because like in the event that someone were to flag that video, I'd like to actually have in writing an email from the developer or publisher or both, just saying that I have permission to make that video all along. It's just, you know, it makes my life safer, and it's just, you know, it's polite to the dev. Plus they're often really interested, actually. They're often really interested to see videos, because like if they're a really small studio and they've not seen many people outside of their own little office play the game, they're often very interested in seeing someone who's never come across it before and how they respond to it. So like for example, like the guys of the Curious Expedition, who are really, really lovely guys, by the way, I've emailed them back and forth a few times. Like every time I come across something I think might be a bug or I have something that's not a really good experience for me, I email about them and tell them about it and send them screenshots, and they always get back to me and like say, oh yeah, that's a really interesting idea. And I've actually seen like an idea that I sent to them actually start making its way into the game and be fixed, which I think is really, really cool. So like I love kind of talking to indie devs, because you actually feel like you can actually be useful and involved in the development of the game, albeit, you know, in a very minor way. Next to what they do, it's very small, but I like the sensation of it anyway. So there you are, ladies and gentlemen, that is the September Patron Cast, and well, the first one where I'm doing this as a full-time job, and that is surreal. It still hasn't sunk in. Still hasn't sunk in that this is like, you know, coming, and when Monday morning rolls around, like, I'm not going anywhere else. I'm not kind of going to an office or anything. At this point now, every single day for the rest of this year, and potentially if this goes really well, like all 365 days in 2016 as well, I'm now just going to be here making videos and stuff. That hasn't really sunk in as a concept. I haven't quite got my head around it yet, but hopefully I will very, very soon. By next month, hopefully I've got my head around that, and I'll give you an update on how it is all going. But in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, I've been John. This has been Many a True Nerd, and this has been the September Patron Cast. Thank you very much, and goodbye.